Welcome everybody tuning in the various means tonight. Grab your Bible there and get ready. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the Lord is good, is that right? And His mercy endures forever. Amen, amen, amen. Hang on a second here. I'm looking for my scripture list, but it went away on me. I might have deleted it off here. Yeah, that's all right. I got them right here in front of me. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to talk about aspects of our salvation. Spent some time in the last, a couple of years talking about this in different services here. But this is something that we can never exhaust. The riches of the revelation from the Word of God on what it means to be saved. Because I think so much of the time, you know, in the church world, it's been, well, you're not going to hell. And thank God for that. How many of you are glad about that? But this is not, as someone said, salvation is not fire insurance. Some of you get that, hell's hot, fire. Okay. Yeah. But salvation is the richness of all that God has done for us through Christ Jesus. Scofield said in his note on in Romans chapter 1 in verse 16, he said that the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation, in fact, I had it right here. I was going to look at it. He says this, the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation, safety means safety, preservation, healing, soundness. And then in the Bible, this is a newer model. They took the word deliverance, but he had deliverance in there too. Safety, preservation, healing, soundness, and deliverance. He said this, salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes. As justification. How many of you are glad you've been justified? Amen. Been declared right with God. He says redemption. We've been redeemed, glory to God. Bought out, bought back from the bondage we were in. The slavery that our sin sold us into, God bought us back through the blood of Jesus. The word, it says, it brings in all the aspects of grace. We want to look at some of that tonight. Propitiation, that's an appeasement price that is paid so that there's no more wrath. Imputation, our sins were imputed to Christ. His righteousness was imputed to us. Imputation is an accounting term. It's to reckon. It means to count it up. Forgiveness, sanctification, set aside, glory to God, and glorification. Hallelujah. That's what Mr. Scofield said years and years ago about salvation. Well, thank God for His grace. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4. We'll start there. But God, boy, we could stop right there and just talk and shout and run and dance. But God. Hallelujah. I can't ever read that and think, that changes everything. But God. You could list all the bad things ever happened to you and then say, but God, and something's changed. But God, what? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. Say that. By grace, I am saved. Well, it'd just be as easy to say, by grace, I am healed. By grace, I am delivered. By grace, I am kept safe. Amen? By grace. He said, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, you go back sometime into chapter 1 and see how God raised Jesus from the dead. When God raised Jesus from the dead, because we're in Him and He's in us, it's as if we were raised from the dead. And we're seated with Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, seated with Christ. Right there in that place of authority, that place of at the right hand of God, that's where all the right, whoever sits at the right hand of God carries out all the king's commands and all the king's demands and all of his will. And that's where we sit. We sit in that place of being the bearers of God's will. Let me say it this way. We sit in the place of action. Being saved is not about sitting down and doing nothing. Being saved is about taking action. He goes on to say that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. I'm going to tell you, God's grace is going to take eternity to show us all of it. Notice that he says in the ages to come. Ages to come. Well, you know, you live every how many years you live here on earth. You haven't really lived ages. Ages is centuries, millennium. You know, just massive amounts of time. He's going to show us the riches of his grace. Riches means fullness. He goes on to say, and his kindness. Oh, how many of you are glad God's kind to us tonight? Through Christ Jesus. See, everything that's happened to us because of Christ is God being kind to us. Amen. We ought to thank God for his kindness all the time. Thank you, Lord, you've been kind to me. How many of you know it's kind not to send your enemy to hell? We were enemies. But thank God Jesus bore that for us, so now we are the children of God. Amen. Jesus died for us when we were God's enemies. But thank God, in his kindness, he's made a way for us. Thank God for his kindness. Somebody said, I heard just recently, I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about how that, you know, they were talking about that we need to be grateful and that type of stuff. And then they said, you know, the Lord kind of checked him a little bit and corrected him just a little bit, got him back on what the word actually says. And he said, you know, the word doesn't say to be grateful. The word says to give thanks. I can be grateful and never say anything, but if I'm going to give thanks, I've got to say something. And how many of you know God operates by what we say? We need to be telling God we're thankful. Just thanking him. Amen? Thanking him on a constant basis. All right, verse number 8, we want to get there. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. None of what we have in salvation can be worked for or earned. Amen. You know, I think, and some of us, you know, just some of us, or let me just say it this way, some of you, just by looking at you, not including myself in this, you know, can I ask a question? Who gave those people the right to send me all this mail about Medicaid just because I'm turning a certain age? I mean, just send me the money you're spending on all these things and I'll be happy. Lord, help us, Jesus. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. No, but some of us have been around this a while. And you know, you go back 40, 50 years in this. Some of us have been around that long in the quote-unquote faith message. You know, I don't hear it so much anymore. Of course, there's new things that come around, you know, and the devil repackages things. I thought Pastor did such a wonderful job at Winter Bible Seminar going over again the idea of apostles and prophets and the New Testament role of each, and you have to do that. How many, you know, each generation has to be taught. But you know, it was the wild, wild west of the faith movement. And it seemed like everybody had to come up with some new thing to say. And in talking about faith, it was, especially in the area of healing and our needs being met and different things of that, it was taught in such a way that if you weren't careful, you got the idea that your faith was earning what grace had provided. And I thank God here about 15 years ago, at least, well, I can go back maybe a little bit more than that, that the subject of grace began to be taught hard again, and almost in the ditch on that side, trying to pull people out of the ditch on this side. We don't earn anything by faith. Faith reaches up and receives what grace has already provided. Amen? You know, and you had all kinds of, you know, different things. I saw a title of a book one time, 48 Steps to the Highest Faith. I mean, it's good for me if I walk 48 steps on flat. I'm not talking about 48 steps up. 48 steps. You see, that can you see how it became works mentality? That, you know, and then I know in trying to help people understand that we need to confess what the Word of God says, you know, folks would testify, well, I confessed it 1,000 times, and on the 1,001st time I said it, the healing power of God hit me and I was healed. So now everybody's got to say it 1,000 times. And I know that wasn't the intent of what was being taught by folks, but people take it that way if you're not careful. I had a minister tell me this. I thought it was so good. And he said he tried to warn a young minister early on. He said, spend twice as much time telling people what you're not saying as what you are saying, because what you are saying is so good and radical, they're going to take it in the ditch. So sometimes you got to explain what we're not saying. He says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Well, what's the gift of God? How many would agree grace is a gift of God? Amen. And could we agree that faith is a gift of God? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith didn't come by hearing and hearing Tad's ideas. It comes by hearing God's Word. He's given it to us. Well, grace is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Faith is a gift. Healing is a gift. Deliverance is a gift. Soundness of mind is a gift. Freedom from oppression and depression is a gift from God. Now, we have our part to play. We know that faith is active belief. And it's a belief of the heart. Jesus made a statement. You know, he said, what comes out of our mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. And so if you've taken your time and you've gone to the Word of God and you said, let God be true and me a liar, if I'm believing something different than what the Word says, then that's got to be a lie. I'm going to agree with what God said. When you make that decision to agree with God's Word, then faith is going to rise up. You're going to have deposits of faith. And then when that situation arises, you're going to speak out of the abundance of your heart. Actually, you could take what Jesus is saying there. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and say, what I'm saying is what I have in my heart in abundance already, whether I realize it or not. Okay? You know, some folks, it doesn't matter what the situation is, defeat comes out of their mouth. Amen. There's always, there seems to be a negative statement that comes from them rather than what God's Word. You know, any thought, any idea, any suggestion that you're not going to get it this time, how many of you know that's of the devil? So I would never say, well, I thought God healed me. I guess not. See, that would never, I'm telling you, for me, that would never come out of my mouth. I mean, I don't care how bad a situation I'm in. I'm going to be saying I'm healed in Jesus' name. Doesn't matter how I feel, how I look. Amen. Amen. Because that's what the Word says. I'm going to agree with what the Word says. So by grace are you saved through faith? Well, in what I had talked about in the series, we talked about grace provided salvation from spiritual death. And we talked about reigning in life. We talked about grace provided salvation from sickness, disease, and torment. And how Jesus demonstrated that. Tonight, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about grace has provided salvation from poverty and lack. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Are you doing all right tonight? Hallelujah. We'll start with verse 8. There's a lot here, but just for time's sake. Verse 8 says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. What does rich mean? Fully supplied. It literally carries the idea of abundantly supplied. Notice, how did that happen? Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of grace. Now, you ask a lot of Christians, does God want you to be rich? Oh, no, brother. Oh, no. Because, you know, money is the root of all evil. Well, you know, how many of you know the Bible doesn't say that? I know this bunch here doesn't know. You know that. So I'm not talking to you, but let me talk to somebody that's watching right now. Money is not the root of all evil. Love of money. Because what you love will motivate you. Whatever you love, that's why Jesus said you can't love God and mammon. That's stuff, things. Because you'll serve one and hate the other. Whatever you love, you will serve. Love is a motivator. So money should never be a motivator, yet we should have a lot of it. Why? Well, you know, we can go this route, first of all. Well, it takes money to preach the gospel. And we're all called to be ministers of reconciliation. You may never stand in the pulpit, but that doesn't release you from your role as being part of that ministry of reconciliation. Amen? Glory to God. You know, I've had the honor and didn't do it just because I wanted to, but had the honor and the calling of God to travel a lot of places around the world. And, you know, it takes money to go preach the gospel. Amen? It takes money. And thank God, God's grace. Now here again, see, when we're talking about finances, just because we're talking about finances, and he said, by grace, you've been made rich. Does that mean you have to, now I'm not saying, listen, here again, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a job. I'm not saying you shouldn't be good at that job. I'm not saying you shouldn't advance in your job. But you're not working for this blessing that God's provided. Part of the blessing is that you have a job. Amen. Some people thought living by faith meant thou shalt quit thy job. And then they live by sponge. They sponge off of other people. Amen. I went to school with a whole crew of those folks. I'm living by faith. Where you were? Oh, I'm not working. God told me not to work. Is that right? Then why are you asking me for money? Did God tell you to ask me for money? No, I'm hungry. I think you better ask God. Yeah. Whiteheart had a song years ago called Read the Book, Don't Wait for the Movie. Well, get a job. Don't wait for the movie. I know in years of over 40 some years now of just pastoral ministry, working with folks in churches and this, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't know what, I said, I got a job for you. Oh, really? Yeah, what is it? I said, this week, spend 40 hours out looking for a job. Yeah. 9 to 5, go out there and look for a job. 40 hours, 8 hours every day, go out there. Amen? Say, what if I don't? Go the next week. Hey, put in some overtime. Why me get off on this? Ernie must have needed to hear this tonight. I don't know why, but I'm messing. Ernie's over there helping me out. He's helping me preach, and I'm messing with him. Galatians chapter 3, the grace of God, hallelujah, has provided for us. By his grace, he left the riches of heaven to come down and be like us so that we could leave the poverty of earth and become rich like him. Glory to God. Here in Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ is going to or already has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, Now, if you go back and read the law, and you read especially Deuteronomy chapter 28, but it's in other places, part of the curse of the law was having lack in every area of life. And that includes these finances. It talks about planting a field and someone else reaps it and you don't ever benefit from it. Right? All these different things as part of the curse is not having enough. He says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice here again, the promise is received through faith. Because why? The promise has already been done through Christ by the grace of God. Grace has already provided. I don't think we realize it, as much as we should. God has already set aside everything you'll ever need in this life, on this earth. He knows your days. He knows the number of your days. He numbers the hair on your head. Amen. He knows all those things about you. He knows your days. He knows exactly what you're going to need. And he's already set it aside for you. And knowing God the way you should know God, he set it aside. There's an abundant supply. You know, you hear people sometimes say, well, you know, God, he knows what I need and he's only going to give me what I need. And most of those people live way below what they could live. And they're doing way less than they could do for the body of Christ. Amen. Well, what do you mean, brother? Our God is more than enough. Amen. Our God is more than enough. I don't have these in my notes, so I'm sorry. Turn over to Psalm 115. They can find it up there. Psalm 115. Anybody besides me thought jets were flying over your house all day today? Man, that wind is just, I can hear it in here. The face shield be faithing up there. Pastor Denise the other night said, people be peopling. I thought that was so funny. Amen. Look at Psalm 115, verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Well, there's the people, and there's the priesthood. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Well, that's all of us there. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Everything, listen to me, everything in this area of salvation from poverty, everything we need is already here in the earth, and God gave it to us. He doesn't need it. How many of you know God doesn't need the gold on the earth? He's got gold in heaven that's so pure that he paves his streets with it. Asphalt. That gold. Pure gold. God has given it to us. It belongs to you and I. He said, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Go over to Psalm 23. Guys, I'm going to read a little bit more of this than just verse 1, all right? So, sometimes you just change things on the fly here. That's all right. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, now you just can't ask God for what you want. Show me a scripture that says that. And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. Here he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Whatever you want, whatever your desires are. Because Jesus is our shepherd, glory to God, we don't have to have any lack. Other translations say, I shall not have any lack. But I want you to read on. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now notice this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now notice that. Notice the table's not prepared for us in heaven. No enemies there. The table's prepared right now. And who prepared it? He did. You didn't have to work for it. You just showed up to eat. He prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. When everybody, listen, when the world around you and the devil himself and all the demons of hell don't want you to succeed, you got a table already spread in front of you. You come too late to tell me, Mr. Devil. Amen? Now we got to learn how to pick up the knife and the fork and the spoon and dig in. God has things to say. I mean, you know, the Bible talks about how to handle things and what to do with them. Yeah. Never love them. But then he says this. He says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Well, wait a minute. I thought God just knows how much you need and he's only going to give you what you can handle. I heard somebody say this again the other day, that God, you know, the Bible says God will only give you what you can handle. The Bible does not say that God will only give you what you can handle. He said he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able and will with the temptation make a way of escape. Because that implies God's given me these things. God's brought the trouble because he knows I can handle it. God's not bringing you any trouble. He's the answer for the trouble. Did you hear the message this morning? My cup runneth over. Well, doesn't God know how big my cup is? Well, I just need enough for my cup. Well, you selfish thing, you. How about getting some more cups and giving some other folks something to drink? Right? My cup runneth over. He's talking about the anointing. We ought to have enough anointing in our life and enough anointing left over for others. It's running over. Just get close to me. It's running over. Amen. You know, I like that when Jesus told Peter, you know, Jesus borrowed Peter's boat. He goes out there and preaches, you know, and then Peter, he says, hey, Jesus said, let's launch out for a catch. Peter's a professional fisherman, you know. It's not recorded that way, but you know, because Peter said, teacher, master, King James sounds real nice. It's just the word for teacher. Today he probably said, look, preacher, I've been out there all night fishing. We didn't catch a single thing. What do you know about fishing? I'm a professional fisherman. Want to see my license? Here it is, right? You know, you imagine what I'm saying. He said, but nevertheless, at your word, we'll throw out a net. Jesus said, let down the nets for a catch. Well, they threw out the net. What happened? It starts sinking the whole boat. He calls over his partner, James and John. John comes over with his boat. It starts sinking that boat. Well, now I thought God just knows what I need. Does God know how much your boat can handle? Yes. Yes, he does. And we can sound, you know, I'm kind of sing-song in this because people get so religious when they talk about these things and, you know, God. God knows, look down through time and knew that I couldn't handle blessings and prosperity, so he kept me poor. No, that's the devil, my friend. That's the devil that wants you poor. Sick. Depressed, oppressed. You know, the devil could care less if you go on to heaven. Just don't take anybody with you. Don't cause him any trouble now. Amen. I saw a clip the other day. How many remember when Brother Hagin taught that sermon? He said, we were born to raze hell. Born to raise hell. Absolutely. Amen. We ought to be showing the devil what his eternity is going to be like from every moment of every day. Just get ready, devil. You're a loser. You've lost. You're losing my life. You're losing my family's life. You're losing my friends. You're losing in my church. You're losing in my state. You're losing in my country. You're losing in this world. God is winning. Jesus is winning. Amen. And I know things going on in the world, all kinds of this and all kinds of that, and everybody's got their opinion on it. But I'm telling you, God is doing something. I didn't say he was in all that, but I'm saying God's doing stuff now. Do you know how many people of other religions are having visions of Jesus right now in their dreams? They call him the man in white. It's over and over and over and over and over, these testimonies. Well, we don't hear about it because no state media is going to report on that. But this gospel is being preached. Well, they start sinking their boat. God sinks their boats. Our cup runneth over. We've been made more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Paul writes this to those who are involved in helping, supporting his ministry. And he speaks the truth here, and it's good to keep it in context, but it is the truth about God and about him in relationship to what he's done because of his grace. Verse 19, but my God. That's just like saying, but God. But my God, he says, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, I realize all of us have bills that need to be paid. Is that right? For the most part, nobody in here is living free of that. You got bills that need to be paid. But you know what else you have need of? I have need of money to be able to give to others that are in need. I have need of money to be able to pay for schooling for orphans in different places that God's led them are, that they can't go to school unless somebody pays their school fee. I got need of that money. I need that money. I need money to be able to go preach the gospel. I need money. I need money. I need money to be a word partner here at Kenneth Hagin Ministries. I need money to not just bring my tithe, but to be generous in offerings to support everything that Raymond's doing. I need money. See, when that starts factoring into your need, you're going to see things begin to happen. People talk about, supernatural debt reduction. There's not going to come any supernatural debt reduction without supernatural generosity. Amen. Mandy and I have seen it. We've seen some supernatural debt reduction. But when you do that, when that happens, you've got to listen to God. It always seems, and I look back on it and you don't even think about it. I'm not doing it on purpose. It's just like we kicked up our giving. We kicked up, started doing some other things. And then all of a sudden, other things started coming in. It was like, boom, boom, paid that, we paid that. Boom, 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 boom. Amen. But my God shall supply all of my need according to my riches, according to my bank account. No, his riches in glory. How? By Christ Jesus. So that tells me it's by grace. By grace. Hallelujah. Our needs are met. Supernatural provision is ours. It belongs to us because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. See, the blessing back in Deuteronomy 28 says, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed are you going to be when you go in. Blessed are you going to be when you go out. It doesn't matter where you are, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Why? Because the blesser, God, has made provision for me. Amen? And when I do what he says, the blessings just flow, and they flow, and they flow. Not because of me, but because of him. Amen. I know, folks talk about, this end time wealth transfer that folks are talking about that's going to happen. The wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. Well, the term end time wealth transfer is not a biblical term. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and we're going to have it come in. But we need to be positioned rightly. And see, if my idea of end-time wealth transfer is, God, take it away from that person and give it to me, that's covetousness. Uh-oh. You see, there's more scriptures about covetousness than there are about riches in the Bible. Covetousness means that you desire and want and will do whatever you need, if you follow it out, will do whatever it takes to get what someone else has. It's the last, thou shalt not covet. You don't covet what your neighbor has in anything. You don't covet their house. You don't covet their cars. You don't covet whatever they have. You don't covet their spouse. You don't covet it. You don't covet. You don't desire what someone else has. I'm telling you, God can bless you more than you can ask or think, and bless me more than I could ask or think. Why would I need to covet what you have? So we're talking about a God meeting all of our needs and us being rich because of His grace and walking free from poverty and lack. We're not talking about covetousness. We're not talking about selfishness. Amen. We're talking about being blessed. Being blessed. And then, you know, there's a whole lot you can say, but there's some people, God, that's their primary function in the body of Christ, is to help finance it. But all of us, that doesn't mean I'm not supposed to do my part. And more on top of that, I'm believing for more. Amen. Every year, more. You know, and here's one thing about it. You don't have to get a raise to do more. Sometimes you don't even get a raise, but you gave more this year, and you realize, how did I have more to give? God bringing you deals. Things start costing you less. You have this last, different things like that. God's blessing you, and the money you had seemed like, I don't know how, but it was more this year. It was worth more to us this year than it was last year. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. I mean, if God wants to help you pay your taxes by telling you to go fish and take the money out of the first fish, you better do it. Amen? The first fish. You ever notice that? The first fish. The first fish. There's not a first if there's not a second. What do you think those fishermen did with those other fish? They sold them, I'm sure. Amen? So if God brings an old dairy cow up to your house with a bag of money she dug out of somewhere and lands it on your porch, milk her before you send her home. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. God is good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say it with me. My God supplies all my needs. I walk in abundance, not in lack. Grace has provided all that I'll ever need through Christ Jesus. And I give Him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our prayer team's coming down right now. If you need prayer for anything tonight, come on down. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God. That's where answers are found, in the Word of God. Amen. For any reason whatsoever. Hallelujah. Ushers, did you take care of our first-time guests tonight? Thank you. Hallelujah. We're so glad that you're here. Hey, you want to come back and hear our pastor, Pastor Hagen, minister for sure, and the rest of our pastoral staff. So come on back. Sunday mornings, 10. Sunday nights, 6. Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock. We're so glad that you're all with us. Hallelujah. Hey, be praying for our Bible college students that are on spring break. Some of them are out on these different mission trips going, but then pray for them that they have a great break and that they come back ready to go and finish strong. Amen. All right. We good, Pastor Bill? Praise the Lord. Shake hands with several folks. Let them know you're glad they're here. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday night.